Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.
Kings and priests, it's the end of the world. Earthquakes, uprisings of the people, extinctions of animals, hurricanes, natural disasters, pollution, famine, wars, and rumors of war. We read in Matthew 24, living Matthew 24. Yet every day, people walk on in oblivion. And this is what we're going to talk about today. It's the end of the world. As we know it, there's going to come a change, and the King is going to come again. Giving all praises to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, we thank the Lord for another Sabbath day to rest and to elevate His holy name, to worship His holy name. I am the Brother Gedai One, coming to bring you another edition of Kings and Priests, live from London. Also, we have another brother who does another dynamic show on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Repentance is the key. Brother Abadja, good morning and good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. People said clothing in my right mind. So we give all praises to the Most High in Christ for that, and give him praises also and all the glory for another opportunity to preach his holy word.
Okay. Let's go straight to the book. We're not going to mince words or waste time. Let's open up to the book of Matthew 24, and let's start from verse 1.
All right. Matthew 24 and 1. All right. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple." Excuse me. "And his disciples came to him for to show him the builders of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down."
Mm-hmm. Go on.
"And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?"
So the disciples asked, they're like, when is this going to happen? When are these things going to be? What's going to be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So these are questions that are tremendous, that escalates from one question to the next. It says, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Because it's just like the song we played at the beginning. It's going to be the end of the world as we know it, because Christ is going to come and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new system, a new way of doing things. The law is going to go forth from Zion. There's all these things are written and contained in the scriptures, but people are going about their everyday life. So I want you to quickly go to the book of 2 Ezra, the 9th chapter. Second Ezra 9, verse 1.
All right. It says, "He answered me then and said, Measure thou the time diligently in itself. And when thou seest part of the sign passed, which I have told thee before, then shalt thou understand."
So this is the prophet Ezra. And the prophet Ezra, thousands of years before the birth of Christ and Christ stepped on the scene, the prophets had visions. Not only did the prophets have visions of the coming of Jesus Christ, they also had visions of the end of the world and what was going to happen. So read on.
It says, "Then shalt thou understand that it is the very same time wherein the highest will begin to visit the world which he made."
Go ahead.
"Therefore, when there shall be seen earthquakes and uproars of the people in the world, then shalt thou well understand that the Most High spake of those things from the days that were before thee, even from the beginning. For like as all that is made in the world hath a beginning and the end is manifest, so the times also of the highest have plain beginnings in wonders and powerful works, and endings in effects and signs."
Okay, so this is the same thing, saying the same thing. That's what's going to be the sign of their coming, what's going to be the sign of the end of the world. So we're reading a little bit about it that's saying, look, you're going to know that these things are true when you see these things come to pass, that it was the Most High that told you about these things. So that'll make people have faith and understand that the Most High is real, that the Bible is real, and that they have to repent and get themselves right before it is too late. Okay, that's the message, that's the warning that's going forth. So let's go back to Matthew 24. Hold that in 2 Ezra, because we're going to come back to it, because it's an important message in this reading. okay, that goes right along with Matthew 24. So let's read that, Matthew 24, and we have verse 3, unless you want to read verse 2 again. I know you.
I'll read verse 2. It says, Matthew 24 and 2, and Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
Verse 4.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
It says, take heed that no man deceive you. Very interesting that Christ should say that. How do you think that he's saying that to them, Abaja?
Well, because even, you know, since before that time and during that time and definitely later after that time, even up to now, you have people that come along and say, oh, well, the end of the world is going to be in this time. Or we've calculated the end of the world is going to be this time. Or, well, I'm coming to tell you the end of the world is going to be in the year 2000 or the year 1999 or 2012, you know. So he's telling them, listen, take care that no man deceive you. So he's getting ready to explain to them the signs and the things that are going to be going on so that they won't get deceived and follow man instead of following him.
Okay. So what I want you to do first is go to the book of Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter. Start from verse 1.
All right, Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, shall ye not eat of every tree of the garden?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Mm-hmm.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
So,
and
hold on. Didn't she say that if they ate the fruit, they was going to die?
Yep.
So, what did the serpent tell her?
He told her a lie. He deceived her.
Okay, so when Jesus Christ come back, what is he going to do?
He's going to judge the earth.
He's going to judge the earth. So, not what you were saying is absolutely correct. People are saying the end of the world is going to happen this time, but also people are saying that Christ is not coming back. So, what does that make people think? There's not going to be any judgment, because everybody knows it's broadcast. Why? They can't hide it. That when Jesus comes back, he's coming back with an army. He's coming back with an army of angelic forces. And they're not going to be butt-naked babies with bow and arrows. Okay? They're coming on horses, white and clean, with swords. Okay? 1,000. When you read in the Bible, one angel killed thousands. Okay? One angel had spiritual power to open up the rocks. The scripture you read in Revelation, there was an angel standing in the sun, not around the sun, orbiting the sun, in the sun. One angel had his foot on the ground and in the sea. So they could be large, they could be small, they could be like people, but they are powerful. Okay? So the Lord is going to come with an army of them. I wonder why you have all these movies, Mars Attacks, and this movie, and this War of the Worlds. Are they talking about an imminent attack from Jesus Christ? That's a question. That might be a little bit conspiracy theory, but we know what the scriptures say, that he's coming back, and the heavens is going to be emptied. All the angels coming. All the angels are coming. So, deception. Christ said, don't be deceived. He is coming back. He is coming to judge the world. He is coming to make war on those that oppose him, that are against him, that is against his doctrine, against righteousness. He's going to make war on this earth in righteousness. Okay? It's going to be a holy war. It's not going to be a war for oil. It's not going to be a war for diamonds. It's not going to be a war for resources. It's not going to be a war, I like your land, I'm going to take your land. It's going to be Christ is going to come back, and he's going to set up a righteous order on the earth. So we as the servants of Christ, we have to put out that warning, like, yeah, it's going to be the end of the world, but when Christ comes back, he's going to judge the world. So don't be fooled or deceived, someone telling you he's not coming back. What you religious for? What you going to church for? What you reading your Bible for? What you trying to live right for? Do live your life how you want to live it. That's what people be trying to say and do. But let's read this. Go to the book of, leave that and go to the book of Luke. Go to the book of Luke 12, and I want you to, start from verse 40.
Okay, Luke 12 and 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not.
Right, you're not going to be able to predict it. Like somebody tried, well, Jesus Christ is going to come back on this day. He's going to come back at noon on the Sabbath. No, not going to know the hour nor the day when the Son of Man is going to come. Only the Father knows the time. Okay? So in saying that, it says, be ye therefore ready. How are you going to be ready? You have to repent and live your life and follow Christ's example. Live your life as Christ lived, okay, without sin. People say, well, I'm not perfect. Okay, every day you got to offend less. You have to work on yourself. Stop being an adulterer. Stop being a fornicator. Stop being a liar. Work on it every day and let those things cease and let the Holy Spirit replace it. So, read on.
All right. This is verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?
He said, is it just for us, or is it for everybody? Go ahead.
And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing.
Right. You know what they have that saying, when the mouse is away, the cat will play. So this is the opposite of that. The Lord is saying, look, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. It says, going to be blessed is the man that when I come, I find him so doing. Okay? The so doing is meaning we've repented, and we're living our lives according to Christ. We're living our life according to the commandments. Because real quick, let's go to, we're going to come back to this loop. But let's go to St. John 14 and 15. Because some people, they don't know, well, Christ, we didn't got to keep no commandments because my pastor told me we got grace. We got grace and we can do whatever we want to do. That's a lie. That's like moral purpose, and that was a lie. Your pastor told you that you could break the commandments and still get into heaven. That was a lie. Okay? And we're going to read it. We're going to read what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is saying that we have to do to show love towards him. What do we have to be doing when he show up with all the heavenly angels, the mighty and powerful, the most of the scriptures call his terrible ones? What are we going to have to be doing when he show up? So read St. John 14 and 15, please.
Okay. St. John 14, 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
Right. This simple and plain. Jesus Christ said it, I didn't. If you love, Jesus Christ said to keep his commandments. Okay? Jesus Christ spoke about the two commandments. Okay? Two great commandments in the law. Thou shalt love the Heavenly Father with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind. And thou, namely, the second is like, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, that's all you got to do. Well, why are people going out celebrating Christmas and Easter and Halloween? All those things are set up as a celebration of pagan gods. Why are people breaking the Sabbath day? The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why are people disrespecting their parents? The Lord said, honor your father and mother. Why are people stealing, lying, and killing? The Most High said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Why are people bear false witness, perjury? Okay? All the list goes on. The list goes on. He said, on these two hang all the law. They forget that part. So we have to keep the commandments and follow Jesus Christ's example. Okay? Christ did not break the commandments. He kept the commandments. So we have to keep the commandments as he said. Not as Moses said, but as Christ said. Now let's go back to the book of Luke 12.
So we were in Luke 12 and 43, where it says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing.
Mm-hmm.
Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath.
Okay. Go ahead.
But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and also and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers.
Woo! Boy, talk about threats.
Mm.
That's serious. Serious. It says, but if that servant in his heart, my Lord delay if he's coming, he ain't coming. Where Christ at? He ain't here. You know what? So you know what? I'm going to go and be a whoremonger. I'm going to go and be an adulterer and a fornicator. Many people, that lust, that demon is strong in the world. That lascivious demon. Uncontrollable sexual desire. I went to a club, I saw a woman, she liked me, I liked her, I got in the corner and we did it, we got busy. I see this man, he looked good, whatever, I'm out with the girls' night out, I saw him, I went home with him and I did it. That spirit is heavy in the world, amongst old people, young people, all people, and they're trying to promote it for little children to be sexual. In your schoolhouse, promote children to be sexual. We're going to teach them sexual education. Really teaching them? Or are they getting them prepared to be sexed for pedophiles and pedophile rings at an early age? So what? That separates them from the Heavenly Father. So, but if that servant said, it's heart, my Lord, delay is coming, and shall begin to beat the manservants and maidens, and eat and drink and be drunken. So that's the message of the world. Live your life. Live life to the fullest. You only live once. YOLO. Live fast, die young. Do what thy will shall be the whole of the law. That whole Aleister Crowley doctrine, that satanic doctrine. What people don't know, the Bible prophesied that Christ's going to come again. He said the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. I mean, he's going to come unexpected. Here you are, you at home, your parents done told you to clean up the house. See, we are that house, and we have to clean up ourselves. We have to clean up our act by repenting, meaning what? Repentance means confess your faults. Some of you out there, you are adulterers. You got to confess it. That's wrong. I'm reading in the Bible, and the scriptures are telling me adultery is wrong, but Christ has afforded me repentance to stop doing it and not do it anymore. That's where the grace comes in, because according to the scriptures, without Christ, you were supposed to die. There was no remission of sins. But Christ has come, and he's given us a remission of sins, not for us to continue in sin, to repent of our sins. That's what people are eating, drinking, having a good time. They're not thinking about there's going to come a mighty man, the Son of God, that's going to come And there's no government that's going to be able to stand against them. No army is going to be able to stand against them. He's going to meet them in the valley of Jehoshaphat, and he's going to be victorious. In 1 hour, the earth is going to come back under his control. So let's go back to the book of Matthew. So that's many people's mindset, is that the Lord isn't coming. And then anyone that's going to try to tell them and show them that they need to get themselves together, they're going to be abused. Just like the prophets and the servants of the Most High of old were abused and killed and beaten for speaking righteous and speaking right things. Okay? Back to Matthew 24.
All right. So we were 24, and I'll start at 3 again. It says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples, right, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
Take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be fooled. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back to make war in righteousness. He's coming back to judge the world. See, the first time he was here, he said he didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. He came to bring, to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel. That was his purpose. To preach and teach righteousness and preach repentance. That was the first thing he began to preach and to say. Let's get that. Let's go to Matthew 4:17. So he's saying, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. I'm going to come back. Don't let nobody tell you that I ain't coming back. Don't let nobody deceive you that I'm not coming back. I'm coming back. Read Matthew 4:17.
All right, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Okay. Go back to Matthew 24. That was the first thing that Christ began to preach and to say when he began his ministry was repentance. How many pastors out there teaching repentance? How many pastors out there teaching the money game? You need money. Tithe's going to get you into heaven. Christ did not teach that. He taught repentance. So a lot of these pastors and teachers, you could go and listen on Tuesday nights to Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor? And we have a show where we're bringing out the inconsistencies and the hypocrisies of these pastors not going according to the scriptures, but going according to their own heart and going according to their own mind. So you can beware of them. Back to Matthew 24.
All right. 24:4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Mm-hmm. Many are going to come in his name, and they're going to be singing that same song. There is no punishment. I'm here. Just give me all your money. Just give me all your money. Go ahead.
Verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
So he said you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. And we've been hearing of wars and rumors of wars for a long time. And there's more wars on the earth than what they televise or what they show you. There's more conflicts on the earth than what they show you or televise on CNN or NBC or Fox or any of those old other news stations. There's a lot of wars and upheavals, uprisings of the people that's going on in the earth. See, if they were to show you everything that was going on the earth, every earthquake, every storm, every tsunami, every famine, that would make you think like, yo, something's not right. I'll get on my knees to the Lord, man. This world is coming to an end. But they cover it up. Satan has an excellent PR section. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and you think everything is okay. Because you can reach inside your refrigerator and pull out a piece of chicken and have a cold glass of Kool-Aid or have a beer or a drink. That's what it said. They were eating and drinking and getting drunk. They thought the Lord's on delay is coming. Read on.
All right. It says that, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
So the Lord told us not to be troubled, not to be upset, because all these things are going to come to pass, and we're going to see them come to pass. We're not supposed to be upset or troubled about them, because they've been prophesied by many prophets that these things are going to happen. Read on.
For a nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places.
Go ahead.
And all these are the beginning of sorrows.
Wow. Wow. All these are the beginning. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That's massive. So with that, we're going to take a short break. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk some more about this topic, the end of the world. The Bible describes the end of the world. The Bible prophesies about the end of the world. The Bible warns us that Christ is coming again and that we're going to have to repent and prepare ourselves and live the gospel and preach the gospel. So stay tuned. This is Kings and Priests. We'll be right back.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake. On Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Kings and Priests, coming back at you live. What we're talking about today, we're talking about Armageddon, Valley of Jehoshaphat. We're talking about the return of Christ and the end of the world. What are the signs that you're going to be seeing? Are you and rumors of wars? Are we seeing the kingdoms and the nations rise up against one another, kingdom against kingdom? Are we seeing famines and pestilence? We see in earthquakes in diverse places, earthquakes where they've never been before. The answer to all of those questions are yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So what that means is that Christ is coming back. He is going to return to bring salvation to his people and to change the world. So the world is going to end as we know it, and a new world is going to be born. So giving all praises to the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, you are listening to Kings and Priests with me, Brother Gadaiwan, also our co-host, Brother Abaja. All right. So, Brother Abaja, we were reading. We're reading Matthew 24. But I now want you to go back to 2 Ezra, the 9th chapter, and read the 7th verse again so we can get the gist of it, which goes right along beautifully with Matthew 24. This is a book that is part of the Bible, 2 Ezra. You may have not heard that name before. It's called the Apocrypha, which is part of the original King James 1611 version of the Bible. Ezra is Ezra that you read about in the Holy Scriptures. So read verse 7.
All right. Actually, let me start back at verse 5 and read straight through. All right, this is 2 Ezra 9 and 5. For like as all that is made in the world hath a beginning and an end, and the end is manifest, even so the times of the highest have plain beginnings and wonders and powerful works, and endings in effects and signs. And everyone that shall be saved and shall be able to escape by his works and by faith whereby ye have believed.
So, look, when the Most High show up, he show out. The Most High don't show up and go small. The Most High show up and go big. When the flood came, what happened? 8 people survived. Okay? Sodom and Gomorrah, he turned 5 cities to ash. When the children of Israel walked around the city of Jericho, then the walls fell down flat. So when the Most High show up, you just better watch out. So it's telling you, how are we going to survive? We have faith. Even so, the times also of the highest have plain beginnings and wonders and powerful works and endings and effects and signs. And everyone that shall be saved and shall be able to escape by his works and by faith, whereby ye have believed. So people saying, oh, you ain't got to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing to be saved. That's a lie. And that goes right along with James, which said, faith without works is dead. So you can say you believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But if you're still adulterer, then that's dead. You got to repent and not commit adultery anymore. You can say, oh, I believe in Jesus. But you're still breaking his commandments. You're still celebrating these pagan holidays. Faith without works is dead. You have to believe, and you have to show your belief by your works, by what you do. That's that false Christianity that Satan has his agents teaching in the world, that you don't have to do anything. You don't have to repent. You don't have to confess. You don't have to forgive. You don't have to live right. You don't have to follow Christ's example. All you have to do is speak the words, I believe, I believe, I believe. No, that's not it. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we're reading again what the signs and things at the end of the world is going to come back, and you're going to have to believe and have your work showing forth your belief. Read verse 8.
All right. I'll read 7 and 8 together. And everyone that shall be saved and shall be able to escape by his works and by faith, whereby ye have believed, shall be preserved from the said perils, and shall see my salvation in my land and within my borders, for I have sanctified them for me from the beginning.
So it says, who's going to be preserved? Those that are keeping the commandments of the Lord. Those that are following the faith of Jesus Christ. They're going to be preserved. they was going to be preserved from said perils. Okay? So what does that mean? They're going to be preserved from the earthquakes. They're going to be preserved from the wars and rumors of wars. They're going to be preserved from the terror. Terrorism going crazy. Terrorists are going crazy throughout the world. People still sleep like ain't nothing. It's just normal Sunday. No. There's uprisings happening all over the earth. There's wars happening all over the earth. There's famines on the earth. They're making frankenfood and making you eat it. There's all kinds of things that's going on the earth. People are just like, they don't care, man. I'm going to put on a game. I'm going to put on a movie. And, you know, that's that. As long as I'm eating, it then doesn't matter. But the Lord said he's going to preserve his people. Verse 9.
Then shall they be in pitiful case, which have now abused my ways, and they that have cast them away despitefully shall dwell in torments.
Wow. Read that again.
It says, then shall they be in pitiful case, which now have abused my ways, and they that have cast them away despitefully shall dwell in torments.
They're going to be in a pitiful case that have abused my ways. What ways is the Lord talking about?
Basically, they took the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ for granted and continued in sin and didn't use that as an opportunity to repent from those sins.
Now, I said if you abused them, it didn't just say they abused them. It said they cast them away despitefully. You know, when you despise something, you hate it with a deep-seated hatred. And that's what's happening on the earth today. People, you don't need that Bible. That's the sky. It doesn't rule my life. He can't tell me what to do. But you're an atheist and you don't believe in God. Why are you so upset with him? He doesn't control you. What do you mean he don't control you? To you, he does not exist. So why are you so mad? He can't tell me what to do, when to love, how to love, who to love. We was out teaching, me and the brother Oz, we was out teaching in Brixton. And we were speaking to this one guy. And we was ministering to him, bringing forth the gospel. And trying to show him that, look, there's right and wrong, but show you also how far people have descended into sin, into a sinful nature, into that base nature, and become like brute beasts. So Ash was saying, so what you're saying is you can break the commandments of the Most High. So it's fine. I went and I slept with your wife. That would be fine. And this guy said, well, it's just loving. That's all it is. So people, they don't care about the commandments anymore. They're more lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So if this is going to please me and give me some pleasure, I don't care who I hurt or what law I break. That's what the world is folding into now. So it said, people like that, they're going to be in, they shall dwell in torments. The Most High is going to torment them. Go ahead.
All right.
See, what people don't understand is that the Egyptians, at the salvation of the Israelites, the Egyptians were tormented and plagued. They had different torments and plagues that came upon them. It's going to be the same thing before Jesus Christ. There's going to be different torments and plagues that come on this earth as the announcement and the arrival of the Prince of Peace. But he ain't coming as the Prince of Peace this time. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. Read on.
All righty. It says, for such as in their life have received benefits and have not known me, and they that have loathed my law, while they had yet liberty, and when as yet place of repentance was open unto them, understood not, but despised it. the same must know it after death by pain.
Ooh. Well, how are you gonna have pain? You dead already. How are you gonna have pain after death? Anyway, it says, for such in their life have received benefits and have not known me. Because doesn't the scripture says the Most High reign on the bad and the good, Abaja?
Yep.
He reigned on the bad and the good. So there's things happening, there's good things happening to bad people. You're like, well, what? How that person prosper and they get ahead and they so wicked and they so evil and they lie and they cheat on their wife, they cheat on their husband. How they get ahead? This is that, look, there's people that receive benefits. You think, well, the Lord must not be just. The Lord must not be equal. This person is wicked as sin. Ain't nothing happened to them. But this is saying something is going to happen to them. It says, then shall it be in a pitiful case which I've abused my ways and I've cast away and despitefully and shall dwell in torments. For such in their life have received benefits and have not known me. Okay? There's people around, the Most High is taking care of them, having mercy upon them, hoping that they would turn to him and repent. Turn to him, repent. They're not thinking, well, I've got these things, is really a blessing from the Lord. I better change my life. So the Lord knows about them. And this is what he says. And they have loathed my law while they had yet liberty, had a chance. And when as yet place of repentance was open unto them, understood not, but despised it. See, many people don't understand that there was a man 2,000 years that laid down his life. Nobody could take it because this man could walk on the water. This man could turn water into wine, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, make the lame walk. No one could take his life. He gave up his life willingly so that we could have a second chance, that we could turn from our sins and be reborn and become new creatures. So many people are like, I don't care about that. I just want to live my life, love who I want to love, have sex when I want to have sex, party, do all things that Satan is offering on this world. I want to have a good life. I want to experience everything. Okay. Well, guess what? There's a payment for that. There's a judgment for that. There's consequences for that. And the ultimate consequences is going to come at the hand of Jesus Christ. So read on.
All right. So in verse 11 it says, and they that loathed my law while they had yet liberty, and when as place of repentance was opened unto them, understood not but despised it, the same must know it after death by pain.
That's talking about you read in Revelations, we're not going to get too deep into it. It's talking about the second death. The resurrection, the dead is going to rise from the land, from the sea, and those who raise up and who judge unworthy, then they're going to go in a lake of fire, which is the second death. So go on. Verse 13.
All right, 13. And therefore, be thou not curious how the ungodly shall be punished and when, but inquire how the righteous shall be saved, whose the world is and for whom the world is created.
So this is the point, and we're going to wrap it up. A lot of people teach, you know, the end of the world, and they teach the New World Order, and they teach the Illuminati, and the Illuminati's doing this, and the Alex Joneses, and all these people, conspiracy theorists, and this is going to happen, and the government's doing that. Look, all governments are going to fall at the hand of Jesus Christ and his heavenly host. Ain't no man going to be able to take down the might of the American military. No man's going to be able to take down the UK, France, Germany, all these nations. Who's going to take them down? It's going to be a spiritual being. That's why they're making all these movies about Mars and aliens attack, because they know these prophecies. Okay? The scholar and wise men of them, they know these prophecies. And so they're preparing for it. But he's coming. And we're supposed to be more concerned about getting our act together and getting right with the Heavenly Father. Then what's Christ going to do when he come back in the angels? How are we going to take down this person and take down? No, we're not supposed to be concerned with that. It says, and therefore be thou not curious on how the ungodly shall be punished. And when, but inquire how the righteous shall be saved, who the world is and whom the world is created. So it's telling us how the righteous is going to be saved. We're going to be saved through Jesus Christ by listening to his word and doing his word, hearing his word and doing his word, not being a hearer of the word only. We have to hear what Christ is saying in this Bible and do it. The first thing he began to say was for us to repent. We have to bethink ourselves. We have to think, what are we doing in our life? What am I doing with my life? Am I living a righteous life? Am I living my life according to Christ? Or am I doing something else? If you're doing something else, then take heed, brother. Take heed, sister, that Christ is going to come as a righteous judge and he's going to judge this earth. And no man is going to be able to stand his might and his power and his army. But we have a chance. Repentance is open to us right now to escape these disasters and the great death and the great famine and the great earthquakes and the great wars and terrorism that's hitting this earth. We have a chance to escape that by repenting through Jesus Christ, from turning from our sins. So you have anything else you want to put on in Abadja?
Wrap it.
So giving all praises to the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. You may have questions. You can write into us. You can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com. That's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Drop us a line or hit us up on our Blog Talk Radio. Leave us a message on Blog Talk Radio. We'll get back to you. For some people, you can't do this by yourself. Repentance, you need a whole team. You need the whole body to help to stop smoking weed, to help you stop being a fornicator. You cannot do this by yourself. Two is better than one. All right? You're going to be by yourself just like Eve was by herself, and Satan started to work on her and work on her and work on her till she gave in. So we need to be together as a strong body that we can come together in repentance and receive the salvation of the Heavenly Father, Son, Jesus Christ. So giving all praises, giving all praises and glory, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord, praise Yah, for another show, Kings and Priests. Until next time, we say shalom.
Shalom.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, he will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.